Hello everyone and welcome to the Will of God in the life and the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, O divine will, to breathe in my breathing, to palpitate in my heart, to circulate in my blood. May every single act done in the divine will be for the praise and glory of God our Father, for the salvation of all souls from Adam to the last, and for the divine will to descend upon earth as it reigns in heaven. Amen. Mary, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome again, and today we will continue with Volume 21. The next passage comes from March 3, 1927, and the title is The Soul in Whom the Divine Will Reigns Calls God to Operate Within Her. The Offering of One's Own Actions to God Purifies Them and Disinfects Them. Luisa Picarreta writes, I was offering my little acts as homage of adoration and of love to the Supreme Will, and I thought to myself, is it really true that wherever the soul who does the divine will, does God Himself does? And my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, don't you feel me within you as I follow your acts? Wherever my will reigns, all things, even the most tiny and natural, turn into a delight for me and for all the creature, because they are the effects of a divine will reigning in her, which cannot release from itself even a shadow of unhappiness. Even more, you must know that in creation our supreme fiat established all the human acts, investing them with delight, with joy, and with happiness. Before we continue, I would like to comment on the passage that we have been reading in Volume 21. We saw in the last two passages that our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picarreta that He is exposed in nature, that His presence is in nature, and as Luisa Picarreta was doing the rounds in the Divine Will, our Lord tells her how He is present in all the elements, how the divine will is present in all the elements, and our Lord wants us to recognize Him in all the elements, in all creation, to be able to recognize that He is in all the elements. So this is what we have learned from the last two passages. Now, in this passage, we learn that the soul in whom the divine will reigns calls God to operate within her. In order for us to be able to live in the divine will, we have to let God operate in us. When we live in the divine will, it's God who operates in us, in our souls. Even in the most tiny action, even in the most tiny and insignificant action that we do with the simple blinking of our eye, when we are living in the divine will, God is able to receive all the adoration, all the glory, and all the praise. Yes, by the simple blinking of our eye. And we also know that when we are united in the divine will, this simple blinking of the eye has the power of God the Father, the wisdom of Jesus the Son, and the love of the Holy Spirit. So even in the most insignificant act, simple act, united in the divine will, is able to carry the seal of the Blessed Trinity within it. So in this passage, our Lord is telling us that when the soul is immersed in the divine will and when the divine will reigns in the soul, God operates in that simple action of blinking, in the blinking of the eye, in the palpitating of our heart, in the simple circulating of our blood, in our breathing, because it's God operating in us. And this is what He's telling to Luisa Picarreta, that He is doing everything within the soul who opens herself for the divine will to descend. In order for us to receive the gift of the divine will, we have to remember that we have to be in the state of grace. We have to have knowledge about this gift. And this is what we are trying to do during these programs, to promote the gift of the divine will, the knowledge and understanding of this book of heaven, so that by coming to know the gift, you may come to love it and to possess it, to desire this gift. And if you are in the state of grace, to ask the Lord to give you this gift, to bestow this gift upon your soul, so that you may be able to unite all your acts in the divine will, so that all these actions, even the most simple actions, will be united in the divine will, and even the most simple action that we do, be able to give glory, praise, and adoration to God. So our Lord tells Luisa Pigarreta even more, you must know that in creation our supreme fiat established all the human acts, investing them with delight, with joy, and with happiness. Therefore, work itself was to be no burden for man, nor giving him a shadow of tiredness, because by possessing my will, he possessed the strength which never tires, and which is never exhausted. God is inexhaustible. God can never be exhausted. What our Lord is telling Luisa Picaretta is that in the state of grace in which Adam and Eve were living, they possessed this divine strength that allowed them to correspond to him. From the first moment they were created, they possessed this divine strength. I would like to refer to another passage to clarify this. The next passage comes from volume 20, October 29, 1926. And our Lord says, from the very first instant of his life, Adam felt all the strength of our love. And from the depths of his heart, he expressed with his own voice his own love for his Creator. So he possessed this divine strength that our Lord gave to Adam as he was created. So he possessed the divine strength to be able to carry out all his words. Our Lord tells Luisa Picaretta, my daughter, this passage comes from volume 20, November 20, 1926. And we have seen Luisa Picaretta doing the rounds. And this is what our Lord tells Luisa Picaretta, my daughter, as you accomplish your rounds in my will to follow my will in each created thing, all of my attributes, hear your call, and each one of them descend into your soul to form therein the little sea of their qualities. So as Luisa Picaretta goes and she does the rounds of the divine will, immersed, infused in the divine will, she has the strength of the divine will operating in her. And our Lord tells her that all the divine attributes, they hear her voice and they descend into her soul. The divine attributes of God are the qualities of God. That's the way we come to know God. Beauty, knowledge, mercy, wisdom. So as Luisa Picaretta does her rounds in the divine will, all these attributes, our Lord says, they descend into the soul of the person who is doing the divine rounds, the rounds of the divine will. In this case, Luisa Picaretta, and they make their house in there. And remembering that when we do the rounds in the divine will, and when we immerse ourselves in the divine will, this is the strength that is operating in us, the strength of the divine will that is inexhaustible. So this is what is telling our Lord is telling Luisa Picaretta, that when we live in the divine will, the strength of God is in us. See, created things are also a symbol of this. Does the sun perhaps tire of always giving its light? Certainly not. Does the sea tire of murmuring continuously, of forming its waves, or nourishing and multiplying its fish? Certainly not. Do the heavens tire of remaining always stretched out, or the earth of blooming? Certainly not. But why do they not get tired? Because in them there is the power of the divine fiat, which possesses the strength that is never exhausted. Therefore, all the human acts enter the order of all created things, and all of them receive the mark of happiness, the work, the food, the sleep, the work, the gaze, step, everything. Everything done in the divine will receive the strength of the divine fiat. So the power of God working, operating in the soul. This is exactly what he's telling us, that is God operating in the soul, whether we work, whether we sleep, whether we are happy, whether we eat food, whether we do anything that is not a sin. The divine will, the strength of the divine will operating in the soul, and those actions being elevated to the divine, to the eternal. in a perfect way, something that the creature cannot do. We remember the gospel during this week. Our Lord tells, in the Gospel of John, our Lord tells us that without Him we can do nothing. Our Lord says, without me you can do nothing. He didn't say you can do little, you can do much. He says nothing, meaning that when we are united with the will of God, then we can do everything. But apart from the Lord, we can do nothing. And this is our reality, that all our acts outside of the divine will, they don't have the capacity to ascend to the perfect, to the eternal, because they are imperfect. They are acts formed with the human will. But when we unite our acts to the divine will, suddenly our acts, they acquire the capacity to ascend to the eternal, to the perfect, to the infinite, and they acquire the seal of the Blessed Trinity, possessing within them the power of the Father, the wisdom of the Son, and the love of the Holy Spirit, so they are able to ascend into the throne of God. Let's continue. Now, as long as men remain in our will, he remains holy and healthy, full of vigor and of an untiring strength, capable of enjoying happiness of his acts and of delighting the one who gave him so much happiness. As soon as he withdrew from it, he fell ill and lost the happiness, the untiring strength, the power and the taste to enjoy the happiness of his acts, which the divine will had invested with so much love. So as soon as Adam and Eve withdrew from the divine will, they experienced pain, suffering. They discovered that they were exposed. They became tired. Their intellect became dark. They lost the gift of complete knowledge. They lost the gift of locution. They lost the gift of bilocation. They lost the divine strength that was operating in them, and they remain only with a human strength. And that's why they experience pain and suffering, and they tire. In volume 19, August 8, 1926, our Lord says the following about this theme of withdrawing from the divine will. He says, referring to Adam, by withdrawing from the supreme will, Adam lost the one unique strength of his creator, and since he was left with his limited human strength, he felt toil when he worked. He felt toil when working. Indeed, the energy he expended in performing one action would so debilitate him that, having to perform another action, he was left with less strength. In this way, he experienced how impoverished his actions were, lacking a singular strength. His actions were not only divided, but each action was defected. Adam lost the divine strength by exercising his will against the will of God by disobeying. So Jesus, by obeying, by being perfectly obedient to God the Father, he restored obedience. He undo what Adam did. By being perfectly obedient to the Father, he was able to restore us into grace. And by taking our humanity, he was able to bring us back to God the Father. Now, through the gift of the divine will, he is giving us the opportunity to unite our acts in the divine will so that all our actions may be able to glorify God. And this is what the Gospel of John tells us also during this Sunday, that God is glorified. God is glorified when we bear much fruit. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. United in the divine will, we will be able to bear much fruit, because every single act united in union with the divine will be able to ascend in a perfect way to the Father. It will be able to glorify God the Father in a perfect way, not only on our behalf, but on behalf of all the human race, since it will possess the strength of God himself, the divine strength. As soon as he withdrew, meaning referring to Adam, as soon as he withdrew from it, Meaning from our will, he fell ill and lost the happiness, the untiring strength, the power, and the taste to enjoy the happiness of his acts, which the divine will had invested with so much love. This happens also between one who is healthy and one who is ill. The first enjoys the food, works with more energy, takes pleasure in amusing himself, in strolling around, in chatting. The one who is ill feels disgusted by food, has no strength to work, feels bothered by amusements, becomes annoyed with chatting. Everything is bad for him. His illness has changed his nature, his acts into pains. So he's giving us an example that those who live in the divine will are like healthy people, that they enjoy every single act. Everything they do, they enjoy because they have the divine strength. They are healthy, so they have the energy to perform many activities. And those who are ill, they are always tired. Their actions have no energy. So those who live in the divine will, it says, even the most simple act has the divine energy. Now suppose that the sick person returned to the vigor of his health, his strength, his states, everything will be restored in him. Therefore, going out of my will has been the cause of his illness, and returning to it, allowing it to reign, will be the cause of the return of the order of happiness into the human acts and of the regaining of its attitude within the acts of the creature. And as he offers his work, the food he takes, and everything he does, the happiness which was placed in those acts by my will is unleashed from them, and he rises to his creator to give him the glory of his own happiness. By returning to the divine will, we will feel the divine strength within us operating in every single act that we do. And even if we don't feel it, it will be there. Even if we don't feel it, it will be operating in us, and God will be able to receive glory through us. He will receive his own happiness, he says. This passage comes from volume 34, April 8, 1937. And our Lord says to Luisa, "You cannot comprehend fully what it means to operate in our divine will, all the treasures that this contains. We cannot really understand in its fullness what it means to be able to live in the divine will. But as our Lord operates in every single act, he will expand our capacity to comprehend, to receive, and even to love. He will create in us the dispositions to receive more and more. So our Lord delights when we surrender our will to him, when we do our rounds of creation, when we unite ourselves to him, because then he is operating in us. As the title says, he operates within the soul that allows him to operate. Let's continue. This is why the soul in whom my will reigns not only calls me to operate together with her, but gives me the honor, the glory of that very happiness with which we invested the human act. Even if the creature shall not possess all the fullness of the unity of the light of my will, as long as she offers herself, as long as she offers her acts to her creator as homage and adoration, since she is the one who is ill, not God, God receives the glory of the happiness of her human acts. This is very important. As long as she offers her acts to her creator, as long as we have the desire to offer our acts in union with the divine will, he sees, because God sees the intention of our actions. He sees the intention of our will. And it is our will who fell sick by withdrawing from the divine will of God. The next passage comes from volume 26, January 14, 1924. And our Lord says the following: as soon as Adam broke the union with our will, he lost the royal garment, the enchantment, the light, and the bliss. He looked at himself without the light of my will, and upon seeing himself without the enchantment which kept him absorbed, he understood how he felt. He felt ashamed and became afraid of God. What is more, his very nature felt its sad effects. He felt cold, naked, and the vital need to cover himself. Had Adam not withdrawn himself from the divine will, his nature would have had no need of clothing. He would not have felt ashamed of his nakedness, nor will he have been subject to suffering from the cold, the heat, hunger, or weakness. He lost the divine strength. He lost the divine and royal garment. But through this gift, our Lord wants us to receive this gift again, and he wants us to possess this gift. So he is giving this gift to us through the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, that we may be able to be restored to health. The next passage comes from the lessons of the Virgin Mary, and it says the following. At the moment man withdrew from the divine will, he became fearful, timid, and lost dominion over himself and over all creation. So again, by withdrawing from the will of God, Adam lost the divine strength that was operating within his soul. And through this passage, our Lord is telling us that when the divine will reigns in the soul of the person, then he continues to operate. He begins to operate in that soul as he was operating in the soul of Adam, our first parent. Imagine that. Let's continue. Imagine a sick person who did some work or prepared some food, which was then taken by someone who is healthy. The one who enjoys the fullness of health perceives nothing, neither the tiredness of that work, nor the hardship which the sick person experienced in doing it, nor the disgust for that food which the sick person will have felt if he had taken it. On the contrary, he enjoys the fullness of his health, of the good, of the glory, and of the happiness which that work will bring to him. And he enjoys the food he has been offered. In the same way, the offering of one's own actions purifies, disinfects the human actions, and God receives the glory which is due to him, and in exchange, he makes his glory descend upon the one who offers his actions to him. All the actions, they are infected. They are infected with the human will. They are infected with the disobedience. They are infected with our own ego, with our pride. And it says, by offering our actions in union with the divine will, then our actions will be purified, disinfected. They will become divine acts, because it will be the divine will operating in us. And God will be able to receive them. He will not reject them any longer. He will not reject them anymore. Because again, they will have the seal of the Blessed Trinity. They will carry within them the power of the Father, the wisdom of the Son, and the love of the Holy Spirit. They will be purified by uniting ourselves with the divine will. Our actions, our acts will be purified. And our Lord says, God will receive all the glory which is due to him. And in exchange, he will make his glory descend upon the one who offers his actions to him, meaning us. He will make his glory descend upon our souls, his divine qualities, his divine attributes, adorning our souls, making our soul more beautiful, expanding our soul, filling our souls with the gift of the divine will. And the gift of the divine will contains everything. It contains all the attributes, because the will of God contains everything. That's why our soul will be enriched. Our soul will be filled with the grace of God. This is indeed beyond our understanding. But the Lord invites us to trust and to believe that united with him, he will be able to operate in us. He will be able to clothe us with a royal garment again. In our baptism, he clothed us with this royal garment, sons and daughters of God Most High. In baptism, he fills us with the light of the Holy Spirit, the love of God descending upon our souls. through the grace of the Holy Spirit, through this gift, God wants to operate in the soul. He wants to operate in us. He wants to be the one who is in every single act. He wants to purify all our acts, all our actions, even the most simple one, even the tiniest one, the most simple act of blinking the eye, the most simple act of palpitating, of breathing, of thinking, of walking, of eating, everything that is not a sin. He wants to operate in every single act. So we must dispose ourselves to receive this gift. We must prepare ourselves to receive this gift that He wants to bestow upon us. We must be thankful also for the knowledge of this great gift that He has given to us through the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta. I want to encourage all of you, my brothers and sisters, to continue reading. I want to encourage all of you to unite all your acts in the divine will and to do the rounds of creation, knowing that whenever you do the rounds of creation, God is bestowing upon your souls all the divine attributes that exist in the elements, that God is expanding your soul, your capacity to receive, your capacity to love, your capacity to return. I want to encourage all of you to keep promoting this gift of the divine will by telling your friends, your family, by praying for the gift of the divine will to descend upon earth, by calling the divine will to descend upon your soul, by uniting all your actions in the divine will, knowing that God is there, purifying us, He's operating in us, He's living in us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the gift of the divine will. We give you thanks for the knowledge and understanding of this gift, and we ask you to prepare our souls for this gift. We ask you to grant us the grace to always grow in the knowledge and understanding of this gift that you have given us through the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.